It is Way of the Warrior, episode 290. We are 10 away from 300 episodes of this crazy show.
I don't think we're going to make it.
We are not going to make it. So enjoy this one and the 8 other that are coming after, and then we're going to hang it up.
We're stop like Mayweather, short of 50.
We are going to do that. It is next. It's Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10
yep,
seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. As long as you love Demetrius Johnson, because we were told that if we don't, we're effing idiots.
Nope.
That is straight from the champ's mouth himself.
I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep. I'm not going to lie.
Just out the gate.
Just right out the gate. Got to be honest with the audience. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Andre Mir didn't help.
No,
that
did
didn't
not.
Help at all. It Arlovsky Mir. But I will say, I got through like 2.5 rounds of Mighty Mouse Dodson, which was, I made it seem more competitive to me because like Dodson did okay in that second round. So I kind of woke up later.
I think he watched the first fight. I don't think
he didn't do well in the second.
I don't think he did very well at all.
May have. I'm not sure. Oh, man, that night. It was my free one, you keep saying.
It was your free one.
Because I got three for two.
You apparently treated it as a free one and slept through it.
Yeah.
Demetrius Johnson did what he does, and he is creeping on the record of Anderson Silva with consecutive wins. That was his 7th. And he looked every bit as...
Is this wins or title? This title defenses?
Title defenses. He looked every bit as impressive as you wanted him to. And what I liked about this, before I get into the fact that you have every right to think whatever you want about this fight or sleep through it or whatever you want to do...
And sleep through it. Slightly during it.
What I'm going to say is I loved the undertone that the UFC put into this as it was Matt Hume versus Greg Jackson as to which coach is going to be smarter and figure this out. And it's clear that Demetrius Johnson, as an athlete and a fighter with fight IQ, is a guy that you don't want to rematch against because he figures you out.
Yeah.
And goes, yeah, okay. Because, I mean, he even said with Ariel Helwani after the fight that Dodson really only got him once with a knee to the body, and that was it. And
was that the second round? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Might have been the second round. You know, but that was it. And then essentially he had figured him out and figured out, you know, he said this with Ariel Helwani, so I won't take credit for noticing it, but he figured out that he needed to keep his head low because it's when he pops his head up is when DJ or John Dodson had the opportunity to crack his head off as he did in the first fight. And when you take that away, there clearly weren't very many opportunities for Dodson to impose his game and instead got owned for 25 straight minutes, which leaves DJ looking for a new challenge, which that challenge may come in February. He would like to fight on the Super Bowl card, and it's likely.
What? Is he 3 down? We can't just do that to the Super Bowl card. That's disrespectful.
He's likely going to fight Henry Cejudo.
I mean, I love that fight. You've got the guy that's undefeated, and
you do.
That's
but
the only I think we called this fight a couple of shows ago. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, because I found it to be way more interesting than seeing Dodson again, because I just know what Demetrius's fight IQ is, and I don't think that he's a guy that you want to rematch against, because you are not at this point. I don't see anybody in that division who has a fight IQ anywhere near his. And when you partner that up with Matt Hume, I don't know how you figure out the answer for Demetrius Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do agree with Joe Rogan that he is pound for pound the best fighter in the UFC. That said, and I've been rallying and raging about this pretty much all week long. That said, when 3 fighters are paid more, not including fight of the night bonuses or fight performance bonuses, when mm-hmm. 3 fighters are paid more money than your champion, stop talking to me on how I have to show him respect.
Yeah, because
why don't you shut up and you show him respect?
What do you have up on the board here as far as the payouts?
Andre Arlovsky got paid more than Mighty Mouse did.
$225,000.
$225,000. Mir got paid more than him.
$200,000.
Rumble also got $200,000. 3 guys got paid more than him. And Ross Pearson nearly came within a hair's distance of DJ's payday. And that's Ross Pearson.
Ross Pearson.
Yes, he won tough. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yes, he beat Paul Felder. And those are all great things. But I feel that if this organization wants us to swallow this argument that you're not a real fan if you don't like Demetrius Johnson, which is BS on the highest level, that I think paying him as the third least, lowest on mm-hmm. the tier, name another champ that would be in a pay-per-view that would be the third highest, sorry, fourth highest paid person on the payroll? Name one.
There's not one. There's not a single one. I mean, even Johanna Jędrzejczyk isn't even paid that scale. Now, obviously, she's not necessarily on cards where there's going to be this many dudes and obviously former champions like Andre and Mir, but this is just what this division is. And I find it very interesting that they look at this card, see what this card does, and I know we're going to probably talk about this more later, then to see what they end up doing with TJ Dillashaw's fight. And that's going to be a free fight on FS1, correct?
Yep.
So what the hell are they doing trying to make us pay for this at this point?
Well, and what's really interesting is, and we'll get into the nuance here, but what's really interesting is when you pair the payout of whatever that is that 191? It's 191 that Mighty Mouse took disclosed. Now, as Ken will tell you, there's this whole other animal that happens in the UFC that you don't, stuff that they get and money that they get that you don't see, and money from Xbox or whatever's going to happen, that happens off the books, but disclosed, he's the fourth highest paid athlete. Now, when you go and you search for, or you look at searches over the weekend, here's where it gets really interesting. And I only did this because Dana White told me to. I watched the post-fight presser, and during the post-fight presser, right at the beginning, there were really only four people out there. Ross Pearson was out there, Rumble was out there, John Lineker was out there, and Paige VanZant was out there. And of course, all of the questions get directed to Rumble to talk about why does he hate the media and why does the media treat him unfairly.
Yeah, are we going to talk about this in a minute?
We will, okay, yes. All right. And then all the other questions, where did they go? They went to Paige VanZant. And during that, Dana said, hey, did you guys know, media, that Paige VanZant was the most searched fighter today on UFC.com?
Wow.
And I went, wow, that you shouldn't say that out loud. And so then I immediately went to start doing research. And I discovered, and you will see it on our Facebook page as you're listening to this podcast, I discovered that Paige VanZant was the most searched fighter in the internet on Saturday and only was beat by Demetrius Johnson when Demetrius Johnson started fighting.
Yes.
And then both of them plummet. But all day on Saturday, she is absolutely annihilating him.
Mm-hmm.
And then 11:30 comes around and they start searching him when he comes on. So you've got...
And I think those numbers are probably even more interesting if you were to take Andre and Frank and put them together when you kind of look at fight interest too.
And I was only taking what he told me and kind of finding some way to support that argument that maybe perhaps Paige VanZant, who I get the interest, right? She's on a tear in the UFC. She finds a way to win. She's absolutely tenacious in the cage. People find her highly attractive, and she's only 21 years old. All of those have the makings of yet another superstar in women's MMA, which is fantastic for the sport. The problem is you still have this guy who's annihilating everybody in his division that can't get he's the Rodney Dangerfield of MMA. He can't get any respect.
I think he's got a ton of respect, actually, but that doesn't translate to me wanting to watch him. I respect what happens in collegiate wrestling and their championship-level matches.
Sure, okay.
I respect weightlifters. I respect a lot of athletes for what they do. I don't necessarily tune in for all of that stuff. That's not how this works. It really doesn't work like this when I am paying to see it. I may land on the college national championship wrestling finals on the Big Ten Network or on ESPN. I won't just accidentally land on a pay-per-view. You have to go out and buy it. And at this point, you know, we don't have Meltzer's numbers yet.
I was looking. Yeah, I haven't seen him yet.
I think he was projecting 100 at best, which is insane when you look at... I mean, that's what it was.
I know.
He was projecting 100 at best. I mean, it's a Labor Day weekend, and it's Mighty Mouse. I mean, he's got two or three of the lowest pay-per-views in UFC history. I mean, they're just numbers. That doesn't mean we don't respect the dude, but, you know, I would ask the audience, how many of you would actually pay $60 for the NCAA Collegiate Wrestling Final? There's not a lot of you. Hell, nobody will do it for the ADCC. That's some of the best grappling in the world.
It is hands down the best grappling in the world.
And that's where you see dudes, where you see on UFC for $70, sometimes get just their butts whipped because there's so many amazing grapplers in the world. And when you kind of change the rule set, it's obviously different. Nobody's paying $60 for that either. So you can't get that mad when we have these discussions on the show about Mighty Mouse. And again, we talk about it a lot. We're going to talk about it every time the dude's on a pay-per-view and he's in the main slot, because this is the discussion. This is what we talk about. At the end of the night, we're talking about Mir and Arlovski. At the end of the night, we're talking about Rumble Johnson screaming at the media. We're talking about how pretty freaking Paige VanZant is. And those are all more interesting things to talk about at this point. It doesn't mean we don't respect the guy at the top of the card. It just kind of means he's not that interesting right now.
Well,
he's getting more interesting as he gets more pissed off as we talk about it.
But and here's what I would say to that is there was a great article on MMA Junkie, and I thought they hit the nail on the head, and that is that nobody in this argument is wrong. If you're somebody who wants to talk about respecting these guys, you're not wrong. If you're somebody who loves to watch Mighty Mouse fight, you're not wrong. If you're somebody who really, really thinks that Mighty Mouse is totally boring and you don't want to watch him, guess what? You're not wrong. And that I know that's tough for a lot of people to swallow, but here's the nuts and bolts of the sport is there's going to be things that people are into and things that people are not into. And you can't sit here and make people feel like they're not MMA fans. Damon Martin wrote it. It was on FoxSports.com, sorry, saying that, you know, you're not wrong. Whatever your point of view on this fight is, you're not wrong. And if you're somebody who decides that you are not paying for this, as the other, I mean, what have we done? Three pay-per-views in a row that were plus 700. So if you're the other 600,000 people that decided this weekend that you'd rather go kayaking than watch Demetrius Johnson, guess what? You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wrong.
And that's an interesting thing when you look at this card. We'll have that discussion. The guy's become one of the most prolific champions in the UFC. I guess here's the other fight. You've got Cejudo out there.
Yes.
It's obviously a fight that we're going to see next. Now, really looking at these things, and we've gotten to see a couple of them because he's so dominant, we get to watch these rematches of guys that have been close. What about the rematch that maybe he really wants the most but can't take in the division right now? That's his loss to Dominic Cruz. I think I would like to see that again. Is that where we make him interesting? Because you've got Dominic Cruz. He's only had one fight since that win over Demetrius Johnson a couple years back. Demetrius has been on a tear. Demetrius' rematch IQ, if that's going to be a thing we talk about now, and we are here and there, especially with him.
What do you, I mean, do you think I'm wrong?
No. I think you're right. I mean that was the really interesting thing to see kind of develop through this fight and see some of the pre-fights. His rematch IQ is off the chart, and I'm like, why is anybody buying this? Why are you playing that up? I believe you. But again, if I hadn't already bought it and you're telling me his rematch IQ is off the chart, he's just going to go up there and whoop Dodson left and right, and he did. If his rematch IQ is where it is, and he lost a decision to Cruz. Let's remember that.
Yep.
He didn't get knocked out, even though he's much lighter. He didn't get submitted, even though he's much lighter. He went to a decision with Dominic Cruz.
And
you think now, especially the fact that Dominic, I forget even who he fought most recently, finally got a win, what was that, like 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yes.
I'd have to look that back up. I mean, Dominic Cruz hasn't been active, essentially, since that Demetrius Johnson fight, save for that fight. Would you like to see that fight? Would that make something interesting here as far as Mighty Mouse goes?
And I think there, you know, that does make it interesting. And I would like to point out, as I always like to point out when this comes up, when that fight ended, if you go back in Way of the Warrior archives and listen to the podcast immediately after he loses a decision to Dominic Cruz, I said they're going to invent 125. He's going to go down to 125 and be unbeaten.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
So, you know, does that rematch happen? Sure. If you can keep Dominic Cruz healthy. And he was just put in with TJ Dillashaw for January 17th on Fox Sports 1. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the second segment. But to me, this guy's got to make it to that fight.
Yeah.
And if he makes it to that fight, you know what's interesting to me? Pick either one of them, TJ or Cruz and Demetrius Johnson. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say necessarily that Dillashaw, if he beats Cruz, that Dillashaw has cleaned out the division in a way that makes it undeniable that he needs to take a super fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Demetrius Johnson needs something like that to keep it interesting because I don't know that Cejudo is the guy either.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be the next fight. You know, I don't know if I want to see that TJ fight necessarily. I think you take the rematch and you play up this angle because you know what? You sold me on it leading up to the pay-per-view. The guy's rematch IQ, the way he just goes in and dominates dudes he's already been in there with. Let's see it against Cruz. I don't see Cruz beating Dillashaw in this fight. I think it's still too soon, and I know the guy's – you can't wait too long. I mean, he's had a couple years out. I mean, everybody's getting older, so you can't wait too long. I just don't like the timing of the matchup.
Everybody's getting older.
Everybody. Everybody's getting older, including Dominic Cruz, which – you know, for him is frustrating, I'm sure, because, I mean, he was on top of the world just a couple of years back, and now he's got to fight his way back in. I mean, he's got that shot coming up again. I think that's January.
January 17.
So January, he's got that coming back, but I'd love to see that Dominic Cruz Mighty Mouse fight now. I think that's a fight that could be interesting. Do I put it on pay-per-view still? Probably not.
I mean, because I think Cruz has fought once in 3 years, right? Yeah. He's not a household name unless you're watching Fox, and even then you might not put two and two together that he fought, mm-hmm. maybe. You know, let's move along and we can talk about a fight that was 10 years in the making and I would have waited another 10 years not to watch, which is Andre Arlovsky and Frank Mir, which was awful.
It was a bad fight. Now, here's the thing. Here's another one of these fights where I see people getting really mad and they're really upset during the fight, or excuse me, after the fight, during the decision that one guy won the fight. And, oh, no, I had it scored two. It doesn't matter at this point.
No.
I honestly thought Arlovsky won the fight. I mean, did you score it that way or no?
I know
Dana said the opposite, which is going to make this title fight set up very difficult for Verdum at this point.
Yes, it will.
You laugh, but that was essentially a given almost before this fight, which is, again, why I said this was stupid.
If he walked through him, but he didn't.
Arlovsky to take.
It looked too old men. Now, to be fair, neither one of these guys really got a full camp, but that's unexcusable to the audience, right? You still have to go out there and perform, and I scored it for Arlovsky as well, but I wouldn't be mad the other way. Because to be honest with you, I don't think either of these guys won. And if anything, this win over Mir is actually a step backwards for Arlovsky. Like, that's mm-hmm. not, I don't want to see that Arlovsky in with Verdum because I don't think it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as interesting as it was a week ago.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And that's one of those things now where Andre said he took it too lightly. Andre apologized. He said all the right things. This is about as textbook as you're supposed to handle being crappy in the cage. I mean, he did all the things he's supposed to.
Sure.
Hey, I'm sorry, that was horse. You know, that was a bunch of bull in there. I took Frank too lightly. You know, I don't know if he's trying to take anything away from Frank or give. I couldn't tell if he's trying to build Frank up or take him down a notch there, because I think you always build your opponent up.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that's what he was trying to do, and we were a little lost in translation.
But even Frank didn't look like he looked against Todd Duffy.
No, Frank looked fat and slow. I mean, and I don't say that in some fat-shaming way where our YouTube channel gets pulled down.
Right.
I say that in a – I get that he's ever since Brock beat the living hell out of him, he's been worried about mass. I don't think he had to worry about mass against Andre as much, so it looks like – I don't know if it was the lack of a full camp. If he's just, I mean, you know, everybody gets older. You kind of keep weight on a little longer. He's not a dude that should be cutting to 265.
No.
That's not Frank Mir. I get why he tried to do it years ago when he was in that championship discussion, and all of a sudden you had these monsters like Brock Lesnar who cut down to 265 from 300 pounds of muscle. You know, Frank Mir is not a dude that should be cutting. Those guys should have both been, like, fighting at 230 walking in there. And I think this would have been a bit of a different fight. I dare say I would have been surprised by it, but Mir might have had a much easier time and won this fight cleanly. If he was lighter.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know. Everybody's different. He says his training's as best as it's been in his life.
Well, he looked better in that Duffy fight than he looked in this fight. But I didn't think he looked particularly awesome in the Duffy fight. I just think he ended it before Duffy did,
mm-hmm.
right? He needed to have a similar performance, and I think that's what everyone thought was going to happen, was, you know, the same when the fight of the year contender were Arlovsky and... whatever his last fight was, which is slipping my mind, went toe-to-toe, and Travis Brown.
Mm, oh, yeah.
You know, went toe-to-toe, and eventually Arlovsky is the one that ends the fight. That's what I think people thought when you pair Arlovsky and Brown's fight up with Mir and Duffy's fight, put Mir and Arlovsky in together. We can't help but get fireworks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're wrong. You get plodding heavyweight Gann McGee, Tim Sylvia sort of fight.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to take away from the fact that this is brutal, that those dudes lying on top of you. I mean, I think Mir implemented a decent game plan in a lot of that fight.
Sure.
I mean, Big John McCarthy wasn't going to let him just lie on him, though, but that's going to take a lot out of any fighter in that cage, no matter how he's at the weight. He was at the weight. He was 266 at the weigh-in. So that's a fight where, you know, you're carrying a lot of weight around, and that is exhausting. But like you said, at this point, the audience doesn't suffer that anymore. We will not take that. We will not accept it. There was a lot of booing during that fight. There were a lot of exchanges where Frank clearly had a game plan to go on the ground and nothing past that, which was really surprising from Frank Mir.
Well,
do something down there,
for sure, because we know that you can.
I know you can tire him out by laying on him, but that's really actually against the rules. You're not doing what you're supposed to down there. And it's frustrating for the crowd.
Well, and I would say that's always a good strategy. If you go back to the tough season that Roy Nelson was on, that's what Roy Nelson did. Because if you've got to go through a tournament, right, you got to stay healthy and you got to stay safe. And lying on a guy and doing damage just to stay busy and wear him out is a great plan if you've got to fight eight times in a night.
Right.
It's a terrible plan if you're trying to establish that mark on the world that you are a title contender. Because no, there isn't a fan or an MMA luminary or a journalist who watches that fight and goes, yeah, either one of those guys against Verdum, book it. Book it, buddy.
No, I mean, this was one of those classic fights, and I know it's never necessarily one of those that works out like that. We said it about Gustafsson before he ended up fighting John Jones in his fights. Yeah, this doesn't look like he has anything for John Jones. This fight, it looked like neither of these guys not only didn't have anything, they're not even close to the same league as Fabricio Verdum at this point. And I know we're going to see more. I think they slotted Fabricio. They want him in March.
Yeah, March versus Kane.
And that's going to be Kane. So, you know, the good news, I guess, for Arlovsky is kind of looking at the division. He's got an opportunity. He's got the win here. This is the win. No matter what you want to argue about, I can't see why anybody would be heavily on either side of this. I mean, I had all three rounds for Andre. I did. I wouldn't care if you scored it the other way, though. I mean, that's
sort of where I am as well.
Depending on how you're looking at the fight. And I'm always a dude, like, if you take him down and don't do a thing, I don't even count the takedown. So that's how I end up scoring Andre for the fight. A lot of people count that and think that that's more decisive and a bigger deal. And for me, that's not a bigger deal unless everything else is even. And I don't think on the feet it was even. I think Andre won that 100%. No. But I think he won most of the stand-up battles. He got cracked a couple times, too.
For sure.
And I thought it was really interesting that, you know, Joe Rogan pointed out right in the middle of the fight, maybe in the first round, is like, once he stopped moving and just kept throwing that right, Frank Mir's going to block that all day and get out of the way of that all day. I mean, he's been around long enough. You know, a guy throwing it a lot faster, a younger dude, maybe Frank Mir doesn't get out of the way. A guy like Andre Arlovsky, he's got to change it up. And he did a couple times. Those were his best moments of the fight. So I think, you know, hopefully he goes into the cage next time, knows what he did wrong here, has an impressive performance back in that title picture. Because, you know, he's a guy you want to root for. Frank Mir at this point, I don't know where he goes in the division.
I think he stays at where he has been, which is gatekeeper at this point. You know,
he keeps fighting?
I don't think he hangs it up because he's still interesting in fights against guys like Todd Duffy. And I would imagine there are more heavyweights showing up.
Everybody's going to lick their chops for this Fedor fight, too, because I think a lot of dudes think they're you know, in contention at this point. Frank Mir would be perfect at this point.
He would be perfect.
Because you've got a former UFC champion, and you've got a guy that hasn't fought in like 6 years.
Got a name and a guy that you could probably beat if you were on.
You just
got
that look on your face like I'm talking
insane. No, you're not talking insane. No, I mean, that makes perfect sense, because you've got a guy that Fedor might be able to beat in his first outing, you know?
So there you go. Frank Mir, Fedor. We just made the fight.
The other fight, obviously, was Rumble and Jimmy Manoa. Rumble just absolutely executed a flawless game plan, wrestling in the first round and just destroying Manoa in the second round. Love him or hate him, the guy probably is the hardest hitting guy in all of the UFC. Like, when he touches you, just...
How much more impressive does that make DC at this point? For a guy that's probably caught a lot of crap for not being a legitimate champion.
Very. I mean, you know, because he did take one of those and nearly crumple and was able to finish the fight despite it. So, yeah, it makes him way more impressive. But Rumble wins, and then in the press conference kind of went after the media because...
Well,
he
wasn't even the press conference
post-fight.
He went to Media Row.
Yeah, he went to
right
Media Row,
the fight,
and was screaming at Media
Row. And he was
Row.
Screaming about the BS that everybody was writing. And I know that Front Row Brian said this was PC liberal crap about worrying about what he said or yoga mats and things like that. I just, the dude won, and I had the exact feeling we discussed last week on the show. Ugh, I don't know if I want to root for this guy.
Right.
Like, he should be a monster that I want to root for. He should be that Brock Lesnar of that division, like, except with hands. And
right, yes.
I mean, you know, I'll admit it every day. He doesn't have the hands. Brock doesn't have the hands. But you look at it and you're like, man, did he hit these women? Man, does he have anger issues? And then what does he do? He walks over to the media and worries about what they're writing and says, y'all need to quit writing BS. Why don't you write about that? And that just basically confirms to me that, man, I don't know. There's an issue there. And then in the post-fight presser, he was still obviously upset. And I know that he did an interview with Errol Hawani. And he said, I'm allowed to be mad. And here's what I have to say to that. You're not allowed to be mad, bro.
Nope.
You're not. Because you've been accused multiple times of beating women. I don't know the veracity of these claims. I don't know if it's true or not. I know you went slightly insane online about a woman because you didn't like where her yoga mat was. And then coupled with the fact that you've been accused of beating other women, yeah, I'm sorry, guess what? You don't get to be mad anymore. I don't know if it's fair or not. It's what it is, because you know what? Your likability directly correlates to how much you're going to make in this business, because you have a group of fans that when he knocks the guy out, you hear them erupt. And then they're like, oh, that's right, this guy,
Right, that guy.
I mean, they're still, yeah, I mean, we're still with you, but man, did you hit those ladies? No, you're probably a good guy. Hey, shut the F up about what you're writing. Oh, geez. Oh, geez, is he really? I don't know. And then he went crazy on the Facebook, too. So, no, you don't get to be mad anymore. I can understand your frustration. I can understand that. But at a certain point, you're going to have to be a professional here and figure it out. Or embrace it wholly. We talked about this with John Jones a while ago, and obviously he's never been accused of a domestic incident that I'm aware of. Are you about to correct me?
No, I'm not going to correct. No.
He's had some insane legal issues, yes. But I don't think he's ever had any domestic violence issues. And John Jones is that dude we talked about who just wants the crowd to still like him and wants the media to like him and wants everybody to like him. And he kind of got past that point, maybe a little too much, and led to his trouble. But he got past that point, and then you're able to actually watch his fights, and okay, I don't know if I'm rooting for John Jones, but I certainly want to see his badassery on display.
Sure.
For a guy like Rumble Johnson, I think he wants us all to really like him and respect him for as being a man of some sort, and I think he feels like he's very disrespected, and I feel like that's very childish. That's a mentality you have to let go at some point in your life. Fighters probably are the people that do it last. Because that's what drives a lot of those dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, it is child. You know what? I don't need respect from everybody on the freaking planet. I don't need respect from people that I think you're an idiot, but I want you to still respect me, which is essentially how he's been treating the media at this point. Well, if you think somebody's an idiot, why do you care if they respect you? Vice versa, if somebody thinks you're an idiot, are you going to respect them? None of these puzzle pieces come together in what I feel like Anthony Rumble Johnson wants at this point. And I don't know what he wants. I know that he went out, got a big win, and was more worried about the media, where he should have been saying, hey, I got the win, I'm back in it, I want that championship fight. That's not what we heard. We heard him screaming at the media, telling Errol Hawani he gets to be mad sometimes, and pissed off at the presser. And that's, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, there's our takeaway from the night. We're not talking about, boy, how would this DC rematch go? Which is really where we should have been point, because you nailed it. He crumpled him in the fight. If he lands one more of those, he's a champion at this point. And, you know, as far as DC goes, he's like that number one dude in the division with the belt right now. So he should be talking about wanting that fight, and that's what we should be talking about with him. And we could have almost gotten past it, except he had a temper tantrum on Media Row. And, again, Front Row Brian, I respect him a ton. One of those guys on Twitter, I always try to make sure I dig through his tweets later and make sure I didn't miss anything.
Sure.
I disagree. I don't think this is a PC liberal thing. I don't think you would ever land me in that camp, Eric.
No, I certainly would not land you in that camp.
I certainly think it's a poor business decision at best for him. At worst, he's still got very bad psychological issues he's working through, and we're going to have to see what happens.
Well, and what's interesting is when you look at this case, right, that it almost starts talking about, is there a level in this sport in particular that you need a mouthpiece, that you need a PR agency, that you need...
Like Paul Heyman should come over and start talking for some of these dudes.
We don't necessarily need to go...
Shut up. Okay, Mighty Mouse? That's what you do in wrestling.
That's a great idea.
If a guy, you know, isn't getting over...
It's a great idea.
...with his skills, you bring in Paul Heyman.
Yes.
Come on, sure. Paul Heyman coming in?
I'm with you on that. What I was saying, though, is on a more pragmatic sort of business-like thing, that you maybe need somebody who can help you with these things, because I don't disagree with you, but I also think that you'd be an idiot not to think they're going to ask you that question at the post-fight press conference. And the way in which you answer this question at the post-fight press conference is as follows. guys, I understand that you have a job to do. My frustration comes out of the point that you don't really, I don't feel that you give me a fair shot and you judge me before all of the evidence is out in front of you. And that's where I have an issue with you guys in the media. That said, I know you guys need to do what you need to do, and I haven't necessarily been fair to help you out in that regard either. However, I'd like to move the conversation to talk about how I should be fighting Daniel Cormier for the title in a rematch of our first fight, because this is a big win, and when he's done with Gus, I want next. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, we may be assigning a skill set to people that we shouldn't be. I mean, this is what we do.
This is the job in 2015.
I get you.
This is absolutely
Eric's
the job.
Eric's very low tolerance, by the way, on things like this. But I will say,
you made $225,000 for that win. You can't put together three sentences to tell them that you understand why they're frustrated, and here's why you're frustrated. Let's move on and talk about DC.
And here's the interesting thing.
You're not an idiot.
He doesn't have to do that, except he seems to care about it. And this goes back to, remember when Jon Jones seems to care that people are booing? Even though he really shouldn't. Hey, Rumble Johnson, if you think the media is idiots, why do you care what they write, what we say on this show, what other people say? I mean, it's a very strange dynamic we've got at this point. Just don't do stupid things. Just don't do stupid things. And a stupid thing is yelling at the media after the fight and expecting them not to write. You want to yell at them? Cool. If you expect them then not to write about you saying and screaming at them, don't write about this, write about other stuff, you're stupid.
Fair enough.
I'll join you in that if you think those two things coming together is going to result in them going, you know what, guys, he's right. I know he just screamed at us on press row and he had a bit of a meltdown after a couple domestic violence issues and going off crazy on Facebook, but instead, let's break down the second round. That's what I'm going to write. You know what's going to happen there. And if you don't care that that's what they write, cool. You be you, bro. You do that. You live it up all day. But what you can't do is scream at everybody and then get pissed that they write that you screamed about things.
Fair enough. Let
it be part of your character.
Sure.
Yeah. Let it be part of who you are.
If you're going to go full heel, yeah.
Like, are you going to be that dude? Dude's sort of unhinged, man. He's going to eat DC alive next time. I think somebody tweeted out, I want to say it was Ariel Helwani. I may be miscrediting this, but the dude fights like somebody kidnapped a member of his family. That's how he fights.
Sure.
Own that. Be that dude at this point. Again, I'm not being critical. I'm not even judging on these incidents that we're hearing about. The domestic violence a couple years ago, the recent thing on Facebook. They all are going to fit into my profile of Anthony Johnson when I watch him fight. I'm not necessarily judging him on that. And if he just wants to go out there and kick ass left and right, do that. But don't play into our game, so to speak. If that's your problem with the media,
sure.
You know, don't say a word to anybody. Go out there. I'm going to let my fighting do the talking. If that's the kind of dude you want to be, that's what you have to do. I agree with you there. He could have been much better handled in post fight presser. I don't necessarily think that's a skill set where all these dudes have to be 100%. You know, laid out the way they are. I mean, but. I guess I have a lot of problems, and I had this problem with Jon Jones before, and he sort of got away from it. I have problems with dudes being really pissed at the media and then expecting them to write nice things because they're really pissed. Okay, let's say you get in an argument with your wife, Eric.
Sure. It's never happened.
Not in your household.
Never happened.
Let's say, like, the unfathomable happened, and you got to an argument, and you wanted her to do something. Or she wanted you to do something.
Sure.
Do you keep screaming at your wife and expect eventually that's just going to end up in the result that you want?
No.
No. At some point, you have to step back.
Right.
She has to step back, and you have to come in and figure out the situation and compromise. What essentially we have here is Anthony Rumble Johnson just screaming and screaming and screaming, thinking that's what's going to get him what he wants, which is all of us to only talk about his fight. Well, dude, if you keep screaming and screaming and screaming, all we're going to talk about is the fact that, dude, he won't shut up about this. He's really mad at the media. He's still really mad at the media. Boy, he walked over to Media Row. No fighter ever does that. So, I mean, it's kind of insane to expect different results at this point. You know, if Anthony Johnson doesn't care, that's perfect. Do that all day. If you do care, let it go. Let it go and stop feeding into the monster at this point.
For sure. And then we'll talk about all the news that's coming up next. And I want to remind you that we were talking a minute ago, Fabricio Werdum is fighting.
Wait, Paige VanZant, is she going to make Johanna Jędrzejczyk marketable?
Well, she's going to make that fight marketable. I just don't think she's ready. I think we can wait a little bit. She's only 21. I'm excited about that fight, but I think she needs a couple more before we're in there, because I don't know that she's been tested yet. I'm enjoying the ride so far. She made Alex Chambers look ridiculous, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing for her trajectory, so to speak, but I still think we're two or three away from a title fight. But once we get there, absolutely, we start to get to the marketability factor. And we'll see what happens. So we'll get into the next segment, talk about all the news. But before we do that, we're talking about Fabricio Werdum. He's fighting Cain Velasquez in March. He will be in Grand Rapids for Fabricio Werdum next Saturday, September 19th, from noon to 2. He will be at a new gym, Fight House MMA, which is on 29th Street. And there are still spaces available if you want to jump into that seminar. You can get at it at fighthousemma.com. Fabricio Werdum in GR, September 19th, noon to 2. We'll be back. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hulkrin along with Ken Evans. As I told you in the first segment, don't forget Fabricio Werdum in Grand Rapids at Fight House MMA. You can get all the details, fighthousemma.com. Lots of news this weekend, as we talked about a little bit in the first segment. We have Dominic Cruz back, supposedly, or as Ken would say, allegedly.
Allegedly.
January 17th, he will be taking on TJ Dillashaw in Boston, Fox Sports 1. It is a free card, which, again, begs the question, as Ken was asking in the first segment, so let us get this straight. You want us to pay you $70 for Demetrius Johnson and get mad when we want better of that $70, but then when it's TJ Dillashaw and Dominic Cruz, you're more than happy to give it to us for free.
Yeah, you've got Pettis up on that card too.
Pettis is taking on Alvarez. That will be January 17th, so big card.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, this is a great Fox Sports 1 card. Do you think this didn't end up on Fox for the reason that, I mean, it's Dillashaw, Cruz, and Cruz I don't think did that well on that Fox card. It was a fun card, but I mean, ratings-wise, they're looking at these things. I got to wonder what they're going to start putting on the regular Fox cards if this is where this fight's going to land.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly begs the question from a business model, like what sort of things do we have to get on Fox Sports? Sorry, off of Fox Sports onto Fox
proper. I'm thinking like Rashad fighting a dude, like dudes that have some name value from a couple years ago.
Sure.
Not that Rashad doesn't, and I know he's trying to work his way back in at this point. I think that's kind of what they're looking at. If we're going to see a title fight on Fox Sports 1, find that very interesting. You do also have to look at the dynamics of the situation. Something I figured out this past weekend, we're in the middle of a rebrand of FS1. They're FS1 now. There's a new logo package, it looks like. So obviously Fox Sports mothership, you know, hey, we're going to do a rebrand. Let's get a title fight on this network and
yep,
blah, blah, blah. So that's probably some of it, too.
Part of it, for sure. The other news is that if you're a fan of Roadhouse, and some of you on Facebook have called it the perfect movie. I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that. But
Why do you hate good things?
I love the movie. I just don't know that it's a perfect movie.
I don't know why you hate good things.
All right. Ronda Rousey.
Is your wife aware of this?
Ronda Rousey is starring in the remake of Roadhouse, and she will star as Patrick Swayze.
She's not going to star as Patrick Swayze. I actually love this. I love this idea because, and I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's sacrosanct, don't remake it, blah, blah, blah. I think the fact that you hire Ronda Rousey will make this an entirely different movie that has to stand on its own, which is what a remake should really do. I mean, I know a lot of people are pissed about Girl Ghostbusters or whatever you're going
to
call
it. But I'm about to 100% agree with you. Like, if you're going to remake Ghostbusters, make it an all-female cast, because then I'm not comparing the two. It's a different movie with
a
different take.
I feel like Ghostbusters all-female cast, they're just trying to switch them out. I feel different about this movie for a couple reasons. Rhonda's a legitimate badass.
Is it because you like Rhonda versus Melissa McCarthy? Is
probably.
That okay? All right. Fair enough.
Right.
All right.
I mean, you know,
this is going to become a much different podcast for 6 minutes. So
no,
bear with us.
No. It's not the fat thing either. I hate all those women in that movie. I mean, all the Ghostbusters. I do like Rhonda though. So let's see. You know.
All right then.
And if Melissa McCarthy ends up playing Sam Elliott's character, maybe I'll reevaluate how I feel about the new Roadhouse. I just feel like I feel like the dynamic is going to change inherently. Here's the difference between this remake and other remakes, if that's what we're going to talk about briefly. The Karate Kid remake was too close to the real Karate Kid movie.
Yes.
It was essentially that, it's in China. We hope people won't notice. That was kind of what they did there, and Jackie Chan's in it.
And it had Will Smith's kid in it, which
right.
was also a problem.
But, I mean, essentially it was the same dynamic.
Yes.
I mean, I think, and again, I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to have to watch the movie, see what happens. I think the dynamic could change greatly with Rhonda as the lead. And you obviously start changing a lot of things around it and seeing what happens. I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm surprised how worked up people are, because usually you get a remake announced and there's a Jaden or a Willow involved and you get pissed. And I understand that. Or you try to make Girl Ghostbusters, where it looks like they're sort of trying to just plug people in to those other slots, and now they're girls. This one is, I think, unique in the fact that Rhonda could legitimately bounce at any bar in this country. She's more believable in this role than Patrick Swayze ever was, and I know now I'll get the hate tweets.
You probably will get the
hate tweets. But I mean, if you want to say, I believe that there's a bouncer that travels around the country and could kill people but doesn't need to kill them, until it's time to kill them. Give me Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar. That's who I want playing Sam Elliott's character. Like a grizzled Brock Lesnar. Just to really piss people off at this point. let him grow that deer beard out that he has.
Yeah, so he looks like a giant old man Logan. Like,
let
just
that
hanging
be
out.
It.
Like, yeah.
So there you go.
I guess, so I need to go back, though, to this Ghostbusters thing to me. Because it seems weird that you're all torqued off about female Ghostbusters, and you don't think that this is like Coyote Ugly with a bouncer.
Really? You think this is Coyote Ugly with a bouncer?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's your logic. That's what I would assume would come out of your mouth, that a remake of Roadhouse with Ronda Rousey is Coyote Ugly with a bouncer. If by proxy, you think putting female leads in Ghostbuster outfits is just swapping things out like three-card Monty.
That's what it feels like.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And this one feels different because I like Ronda Rousey.
I like Ronda Rousey a lot. I'm very excited. It looks like we will get a lot of movies out of her. Maybe three in 16, between 16
like
and 17.
Maybe Kate McKinnon I can stand. I don't know yet.
Okay,
maybe in a whole movie.
Okay, all right.
I honestly
honestly do not give a shit if you like the Girl Ghostbusters at all. The logic is interesting to me that you really, really are angry about Girl Ghostbusters, but love Rhonda and Roadhouse.
I find that
you,
perfectly,
sir,
acceptable.
You, sir, are an enigma. Okay, the other news out this week.
Why does Kristen Wiig have to be in everything?
She's contractually obligated. Ever since Despicable Me 2, she's been obligated to be in every movie. It's part of her deal. And the other news out that as we head into 2016, they are making some adjustments to Fight Pass. And some of those adjustments are things that I think there's no specifics yet, but it's leaning in a direction that I'm sort of excited about, in that they are going to have live weekly events on the network, so you will have stuff to consume, because they are noticing, as Ken was alluding to, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that you kind of let your Fight Pass expire because you weren't really consuming much stuff.
No, there's nothing there for me. I love Brock Lesnar. I don't need to keep watching his fights 58 times, especially when they're on YouTube.
Yes. Well, and so when you look at this, and I was just talking right before you showed up to do the show, I was just talking about the new Apple TV and cutting cords and live sports and all of these things. And I was saying that my hope for Fight Pass is that it gets a little bit more closely aligned with the WWE network, because I believe, and Ken, you have it, so you can you can correct me, but I believe that you can watch Raw, like, on demand.
You
right?
can't watch Raw. That's the only thing
you
that's
cannot watch
out.
Raw. Never can you watch Raw.
No, only super old ones.
Gotcha.
Which has been a little bit of a complaint, but I mean, you went into it knowing that you couldn't watch Raw. So I mean, I think,
can
again,
you watch SmackDown?
No. No,
okay,
no,
so none of the TV products.
Anything that's already got a contract going in. Now what they've really been good at is they've reworked everything. Like, and I know this isn't the best example, but Total Divas,
and that's on E, right?
That's on E. So they've worked that next contract in. That will start becoming available on Replay.
Okay, so
they're in the ratings business too, a little more than the UFC. So I don't even necessarily know if that were an option they'd want it to. But again,
well, I guess
that's
I'm
not their carrot, though, Eric. Their carrot is their
pay-per-views. Is the pay-per-views. But I know that we're not getting there, right? Like, we're not getting pay-per-views on Fight Pass. That's not what they're talking about. I guess what I'm looking for is getting closer to the Total Divas stuff. Like, can we get to the point where all of the Ultimate Fighters just end up on Fight Pass after they're done? And I know this has been a complaint of yours, is that if you want to put a Fox Sports 1 card on Saturday and it's not on Fight Pass on Saturday, we're totally fine with that. Why can I not watch it on Monday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing that's been frustrating. I think you've got a couple different levels. I don't think... Well, no, we're not going to get there. I was going to say maybe you tier out these pay-per-views, essentially, but you can't do that because, I mean, they'll lose their clearance otherwise.
Right. If they, yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, WWE, but I mean, they were ready to do it. They lost their clearance. For those of you that aren't aware, DirecTV, I think Dish Network's on there. I don't think the cable systems did because they're archaic and they don't care because they'll just send it down the line. But they lost a lot of pay-per-view clearance when they started doing the network. Probably rightly so if you want to kind of get into the business side of that. And UFC can't afford that right now because they've still got a couple pay-per-views a year. And, you know, this isn't the death of USC.
No. We're about to head into 6 weeks that are going to be the craziest 6 weeks you've had in a decade.
Well, and you've done about, you know, $2.5 million in the past 2 months.
Sure.
I mean, if you want to believe those numbers, which I don't whenever UFC tells me. So I get you're trying to make Conor McGregor the biggest thing ever, and he may be, but I'm not sure about
that
million.
But I guess, you know, as you're telling me that you're making adjustments and you want to add live stuff, if you're not able to add pay-per-views, I'm totally fine with that. But if you're not able to put stuff that's on Fox Sports 1 somewhere within the fact that I can watch it in a timely manner,
mm-hmm.
To me, this thing gets less and less and less interesting. Because as a library of fights, I don't know that it's worth $9 a month.
Yeah, it's worth like if you're going to take some vacation or you get sick or something and you I don't know. It's you're right. Subscription-wise, it feels like there has to be more carrots on the stick. And there's not really anything there. I mean, the other thing WWE has done, if we're going to start comparing these...
What else do you compare it to, really?
Exactly, and that's the best comparison at this point. I mean, they've got a lot of live shows, things that are exclusive to that network. I mean, they've got their own prank show. They've got their own interview show. They've got their own weekly summary show. What really happened, and I think we may have talked about this a long time ago, but this is a good time to reset it. What I think happened here is they were very excited about this Fight Pass thing. They couldn't turn down a Fox deal, though.
Sure.
And that Fox deal led them into this rabbit hole of, oh, we've got to do UFC Tonight. We've got to make Versus into Fox Sports 2, and that's now the UFC network. We've got to do these Fox cards. I mean, all the things you would naturally see progress into a UFC channel or network or Fight Pass, as it ended up being called, they're already spoken for. Because in order to get that Fox Sports deal, you basically agreed to program their networks. And it was good for everybody. The one thing it's terrible for is the fact that you're essentially in a fighting business. You can't necessarily do, you know, Josh Koscheck throws a pie at Forrest Griffin. I mean, maybe you could. That might be one of the better Fight Pass ideas. Don't you steal that, UFC. But, I mean, you can't necessarily create these other programs. I love UFC Tonight. I love the post shows that they do.
Yeah.
Those are on Fox Sports 1. I love some of the lookbacks. They're on the Fox Sports Network. So I never feel the need. It's already been curated for me at some point. I don't feel the need to start digging through the app, which the user interface... We've already heard my thoughts on that. I don't feel the need to start digging through the app, which I can't really watch on my TV yet. Still... because I don't have all the boxes. I've got like six of the boxes, but like the one I don't have the one I need.
I would tell you that I enjoy Fight Pass 4, I should say, is to prep for the show if I want to go back and look at people's fights mm-hmm. leading up to having...
But I mean, if you really needed to do that?
Yeah, if I actually needed to, like, it's not too hard. I mean, this is my point, is there's still pirated sites out there that you can get these pay-per-views as they're happening, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not saying, look, if you can't financially put pay-per-views on, that's fine, but you're going to have to put something on there of value.
Because uh-huh.
right now, there's nothing of value.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do because, again, those things of value, they're stretched thin. These guys are stretched thin, and you can tell it. I mean, there's always in any type of business, and especially in hard product business, but even in business like this, there's always that point where you're doing well, and so many people want your product, and you think, okay, well, let's create more product. Well, then that scale starts to kill you. Because you got to scale up. So even though the demand's there, you know, you've got to scale up production, factories, things like that. For the UFC, you've got to scale up content. You've got to get Mike Goldberg to voice everything. Now you've got to bring in other announcers because you know what? Oh, we almost killed Mike Goldberg, and he almost went to WWE.
Right.
Because the schedule was getting insane. He loves UFC. He took what is reported to be a big pay cut to stay in the UFC. But You had to build up the Florian commentary team.
With Anik.
With Anik, yes. You probably need another one of those. Still. And so you still got to do all these things for Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, UFC on Fox. We do agree to provide They also agreed to provide digital content for Fox Sports. And on top of all that, oh, here's our own network. Well, essentially what that network becomes is a pay-per-view app. And a lot of people have used it. They love it as a pay-per-view app. I know you've done that a lot.
I have.
And it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. But here's the thing. I don't want to pay $9.99 and then pay you more money, which is essentially what's happening.
And here, I 1,000% agree with you. But I've used it when I've been on the road, and I'm already paying for it, right?
Right.
Like, I didn't put two and two together, because it's not like they give you a $9 discount by buying that pay-per-view.
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing. I can get them on my PS3 for $49. It could be that simple. Like, okay, if you're getting it digitally, we know it's going to hiccup. It doesn't matter how good your platform is. It doesn't matter at this point. We're still not in that Wi-Fi world that we may be in 10 years. There's still so much of the country, and I know your perspective is a little skewed at this point, but I mean, there's still so much of this country that's not wired up.
It's like 70%, actually.
Right. That's still 30%.
No. I mean the other way around. Oh, okay. It's like 70% of the country is not on high-speed internet. No, I have absolute understanding of the scale of this, which is why, to your point,
that
thing you're holding in your hand is the most important asset that these companies could use.
So make it simple. Like, I was floored by the fact I went to go to Fight Pass. I'm going to buy it. It's got to be like $39.99, maybe $49.99. Nope. Still $59.99. Now wait, where does this work? And you know, again, I don't know the contracts. Maybe they can't cut it, because then the pay-per-view providers would be upset. Maybe it's contractually they're unable to do it. For whatever reason, they could do it on my PS3. Maybe that doesn't count. And I'm not joking. That's not like me making these things get very intricate. These
well,
deals
and
up and down.
Yeah, sure, because yours could be as simple as Sony has this scale, and they're going to take it on the nose, right? Because they would rather you stay in their ecosystem and get that data and have you consume media on their thing, so you don't go to Roku or you don't go to Apple TV.
Yeah, they might be eating the $10.
You know, they might eat it just to get you to stay there.
And that's the thing that, you know, I think UFC would have to work out. That's your carrot. You can't create an Ultimate Fighter carrot. Nobody cares. They tried. They tried with all these Ultimate Fighters. You get to see Ultimate Fighter Brazil. I don't care. I don't.
Well,
I'm
and
sorry.
Like,
you
know,
get to see you get to see the UK versus the Scots. What? Is this William Wallace? I don't know what's going on.
Freedom.
Yeah, I don't. They've got tons of content. It's finding that identifiable content. It's finding those things. Again, wrap-up shows, I think, would be a big deal. I would love to be able to flip on my app and pop that on and watch it at night. No, I had to stay. And again, I don't want to beat this dead horse anymore, but I'm going to hit him once more in the head. It's late when these things are done. So I would like to pop it on in my app and watch it in bed. I know. I'm sorry. But you know what? I pay for it. Let me have it. Let me not have to go into my living room and turn the TV on and have to, you know, time it out whenever Fox Sports gets done with their post-game show. Because, again, those things got to line. Why can't I have all your stuff that isn't the pay-per-view? I think that's you and I kind of agree there. Your carrot on this is going to be easier pay-per-view access and at a better rate than you can get it anywhere else. That's going to be your ultimate carrot here, because you're just creating more fights doesn't work here, because there's not an interest in these fights. They're showing us essentially every fight in the world at this point. They're showing Shudo. I watched like 10 minutes of that. I'm like, this is kind of terrible. Like, it loses its luster when you're actually watching it.
Yes.
And there's guys calling it in a booth from like Vegas somewhere. Did you try to watch Shudo?
I did not, no. I mean, I know that they have
it was pretty terrible.
But Invicta's not that. I mean, the action in Invicta's great, but the production sucks.
No, and that you know, that's where you end up making that decision too. Like, am I going to sit here and watch this? Am I going to invest this time, or am I going to wait and see if something crazy happens online, and then I'm going to go back into the archive and maybe? Again, this value proposition at the $9.99 a month, it's going to be tough for them, because basically they put theirs out and everybody's like, you and I at first were like, oh, this is super cool. For $10 a month, I can watch whatever I want. Well, not really, but okay, I guess it's acceptable. It's only $10 a month. And then, you again, the only other guy you can talk to about this thing is Vince McMahon. He just came rolling in, unzipped his pants, threw it down on the table. Here's your pay-per-views. That's what $9.99 a month should get you.
Well, cause,
and then we're all like, what?
Because this is the battle, right? If you look at where we both came from and you are currently in, right? You've got Pandora, you've got Spotify, and you've got Apple Music all competing for that. What price point, Kent? Yeah, that's right. $9.99 and Tidal. All battling for this $9.99 sweet spot and each having to up the ante of what you get or find a particular human being that wants to live in that ecosystem, because now we've gotten to the point, and I'm not saying that the UFC is at that point or WWE is at that point, but we've gotten to the point in music where it's essentially valueless. It's so prolific, it's so ubiquitous that people want to pay $10 and literally have every song ever.
Right, and they want that, and you also talk about living in this space where the free options are amazing. You know,
sure.
If I may, iHeartRadio.
I was going to use them because you don't have to pay for it.
You know, they put it down on the table a long time ago at my company. They said, look, here's essentially everything, you want. Oh, History of Rap was on last night? Hey, here's your History of Rap station. All those songs and all six of those videos that Jimmy Fallon did, that's a radio station today, and it's absolutely free. And you have, you know, all these other competitors trying to carve out $9.99. And then you have Google Music, which it would probably be my second go-to. Which, and literally, they've gone and done it. If it's not the Beatles, and you pay them $9.99 a month, then you can have everything in the world, essentially. You want to hear a new album that came out yesterday? It's on Google Music. You want to hear something from 20 years ago? It's there. So, I mean, you essentially had Google Music, and you got two, you know, and iHeartRadio. And then you use all your other examples.
But maybe,
you have WWE Network, and then you use all your other examples.
But maybe iHeart is a better example then, because iHeart is able to do that for free because they have a giant network of support behind it, right? Mm-hmm. They've got physical radio stations printing physical money to, you know, defer all of the costs of doing this app for free without charging you, right? Like there's other ways that they are charging the universe to make that stuff all good,
right?
So you can't tell me that Fox proper, the umbrella Fox, right, doesn't have that same sort of swagger in order to do this. And I'm not saying the Fight Pass needs to be free, but I'm saying that you're making the iHeart thing makes the point, right? They've got a partnership with NBC. Jimmy Fallon does this bit. Okay, the next morning there's a radio station to accompany that. And that's working through this partnership and coming up with content that people can consume the day after to keep that brand equity going. So you can't tell me, Fight Pass, that your relationship with Fox and Fox Sports 1, that there's nothing you can give me that's worth value for $9.99 a month.
And here's the other thing too, and this is where we see some of our differences in our metrics and things in iHeartRadio and things like that, is the fact that we have physically already curated the content for you. You don't have to go and start looking. You don't have to go and find things. That's why every one of those things you mentioned, they all jumped into the quote unquote radio game.
Yep.
Because they realize people sometimes just want to hit play.
Well,
they just want to hit play.
If I may, that's the game, right? I warned you all 12 minutes ago this was going to take a turn, but that's the game, is that curation of this content is specifically with music, because if I give you access to everything on Google Music, Ken, somebody has to tell you how to find the new stuff.
Right.
Because it's
or
all, it's
or
all,
the old stuff that I forgot I loved.
Or the old stuff.
Which is actually what more people want, even though that's not what they say. Again, we're just making a lot of turns here. But how hard would it be? And I don't know, because I mean, this was the launch of the WWE Network. We're a network. They turned the station on the day after WrestleMania, or the day after a pay-per-view. You know,
2 years ago.
Yeah. It's on. I can't tell you how many times I'll just pop that thing on and I turn it on. I don't know what's on, but it's on. I'm like, oh, is this a Raw from 20? Oh yeah, Stone Cold, like he kicked 8 guys in the nuts, because that's what he did every night. Kicked them all in the nuts and then stunnered them. Or you might see a pay-per-view from 4 years ago. You forgot, oh, this match is on. There's a press play capability that UFC needs to put on Fight Pass at some point. And I get that they're doing some of the collections and things like that, but I can't tell you how many times versus when I watch on Fox Sports 1 or when I see something on Fox Sports 1, I actually engage in that product. Then if I'm like, UFC, tap. Oh, shoot, there's a Josh Koscheck fight. I didn't even really like him, but I remember he got his ass kicked here. I'm going to watch that. Oh, this is on afterwards. Oh, this is on. I'll watch that for an hour until the damn show's over.
Yep.
And I watched a whole hour of UFC content that was produced more than 10 years ago half the time. And so you can't tell me the content's not there. Put that on a channel. UFC Live. you know, and then roll it in. Then when you've got your special events, it feels like a special event. You cut in for the UFC coverage of the NAC hearing for Nick Diaz. You know, you cut in for the post and the previews. You don't have to click. Because even then, you still have to dig in the app a little bit and find out what's live now.
Yeah, well, and to your point, if they made a network, and maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know. They've got a new head of the network, and maybe that'll change it. But to your point, that's how you build up guys like Florian and Anik to be those guys that aren't looked at as the second
tier. Let them do an interview show.
You've got Bisping to use. You've got them to use. You've got Dan Hardy to mm-hmm. use. You've got all these guys. Dominic Cruz. They just put Eve Edwards. I saw him this past weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got all of these guys that could be hosting curated playlists of things that you're doing on this network.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, up until the UFC Fight Pass, they used to sell a ton of those knockout DVDs
yep.
or submission DVDs or top redheads in the UFC DVD. Whatever they, I mean, they sold a lot of those because people like to pop them in and watch them.
Yep, I just was looking at those yesterday. Yeah, I should get rid of these because I pay $9.99 a month to have
exactly,
them.
But do you ever go and dig it out?
No.
You're probably more likely to throw in the top 100 KOs and watch that than to go try to cure. I don't know, what KO do I like? What should I put at 37? So, I mean, I think that would be very interesting. I think if you're going to revamp Fight Pass, and that's the discussion we've obviously been talking about here, you dump the name because it's weird. It just doesn't click. Call it UFC Network. Get on board, folks. And they really didn't want to do that, too, because there was a lot of rumors about Fox Sports 2 becoming UFC Network. And if that's not going to happen, and again, see, this is how complicated it is having such an overwhelming TV presence. It really makes it hard for this to get off the ground. And maybe it's not necessary for them.
But it does. But if I, you know, because I've been talking about it all week, given all the stuff that's been going on, if I may, the game isn't starting your own network on a television station.
Not anymore.
That is not the game.
No. I think they were trying for a long time, and they obviously got close here and there. And sometimes you forget your perspective, too, when you get that close. They were close a couple times to having a UFC Network on TV. And, you know, just like I feel like sometimes they've lost their perspective about the Ultimate Fighter and what this can be in this day and age. So if you want to make this something, I don't know what the carrots are, but they're not there right now. And, you know, I canceled mine a couple months ago, I haven't missed it since. I didn't miss it on a pay-per-view night. I didn't miss it after the pay-per-view because, you know what, I watched the UFC tonight on Fox Sports. You know, post-fight presser, they put it on UFC. I mean, I don't need it. So it's interesting to see they're recognizing they have to do something. Whatever that something is will be the part of future discussions. That's interesting.
And hopefully they listen to this before they make a decision.
They always do.
The other thing that happened this week.
Chored with this show, I'm sure.
We kicked off all 250,000 plays this year is by a UFC intern who.
No, I'm saying, but they have people listening to every show, and there's somebody who's like, God damn
the other,
it, I got
the,
stuck on this one.
The other thing that happened, as Ken is very excited about, is Tough 22 started.
Oh, my God, are you really going to do this now? You're going to start talking about Tough 22?
The only thing I want to say is that...
Is this Conor McGregor?
This is Conor McGregor and Faber. And
he just comes and yells now.
He just comes and yells.
Which he may be the best coach since Ken Shamrock, and, if that's all he's going to do.
And Faber actually has a vested interest in these kids, which is, I don't know that I'm going to watch another episode. What I will tell you, though, is in the first episode, Ryan Hall, who I've seen grapple a million times, wins his fight with a crazy heel hook, which was awesome. If you can catch the replays on YouTube, they've got them all on YouTube. And then there's a guy named Tan Lee, who does like just insane kicks and wins his fight by knockout. You have to see those. But other than that, not much really exciting, I didn't think. I mean, there wasn't much that made me go, oh, I can't wait to see the season of a guy who you will see fight once in the UFC and never fight again.
Right, but I mean, Conor comes and screams at him about if this is their time, right?
Yes.
Something like that?
I'll DVR that for you.
All right.
All right.
Nick Diaz next week.
Oh, yeah, Nick Diaz next week.
For those of you still with Fight Pass.
Yes, for those of you, Nick Diaz is next week, and this thing will get interesting before we bounce.
It's an NAC hearing,
An NAC hearing. This thing just gets crazier and crazier as the story goes. He took a bunch of tests at the UFC offices to see if he could test clean until he tested clean.
Wait, he gets SAT prep tests.
Right. So they took
pee.
So they took a bunch of tests till he could test clean. Then they thought about getting a therapeutic exemption for this fight. He ended up having to take three post-fight.
Wait, can you get a post-fight therapeutic exemption?
No. When he was having trouble, because he had to pass it before he could get the license.
Oh, okay.
And so this is where it's going to get interesting next week, because those tests were not supposed to be made public because they have nothing to do with
right.
any of the actual testing. And his team feels that it's going to give undue influence to his judgment.
Well, maybe that's what happens when you wait 8 months to do your freaking hearing.
Fair enough.
Maybe that's your one drawback. We talked about effectively there was zero drawback for the fact that Anderson Silva right. waited like 8 months to do his hearing.
The drawback is the discovery lasts forever.
Right. So if you keep peeing hot, then you keep peeing hot.
So as the story goes, when he finally takes the post-fight press test or post-fight tests, there's no press involved. There should be. He took three tests, passed two of them.
We want to watch.
Failed one of them. The one he failed was double. It was supposed to be 150 micrograms.
Is this weed?
Yes.
Okay.
Micrograms. He was at 300 micrograms. So next week will be very interesting, and we'll, of course, live tweet as that happens next week, or I will because I still have Fight Pass, or I'll give Ken my login. Don't tell the UFC I said that.
You're good. You're fine.
The intern, just don't listen to the last 2 minutes.
Right. You just tweet it. I'll just read those.
Fair enough. Fabricio Werdum is in town next Saturday. All the details will be on the Facebook. As always, you can search us by searching WOW Show on Twitter and Facebook. Have a wonderful weekend. Mayweather this weekend, although, I don't know that anyone cares.
Is anybody watching that?
I don't know.
I want to. The disinterest in this fight may be bigger than the interest in any Mayweather fight. I was given an opportunity to go free of charge. Tickets, airfare, accommodations. Does that make me? That's bougie. That sounds bougie.
That is a little bit bougie, but I'm sure Demetrius Johnson feels a little bit better this weekend.
Maybe he would have gone with me. I would have had to go by myself. Maybe if I would have called Mighty Mouse up,
he would have been there.
He might have gone. Get first row seat. Right,
Mayweather's fighting this weekend. He will beat Berto. I'm sure it'll be a decision, and we'll keep you posted on that.
I mean, I'm hoping for like a Buster Douglas thing.
There's no chance.
Even if there is,
you don't need to buy it.
If you are a boxing fan and you're not going to watch the Mayweather fight this weekend, which would show you're really a boxing fan, I would suggest heading to Netflix. There's a great documentary that's just been released. And this isn't a plug. This is just me mentioning. It's called Champs. Check it out. It's an amazing look at some of those guys that actually went in and fought.
Awesome.
When they box, like Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, and some of those other guys. So, that's on Netflix. Watch that this weekend instead of the Mayweather fight.
Check out Champs this weekend on Netflix, and then go check out Fabricio Werdum if you're in Grand Rapids at the
Fight House MMA.
FightHouseMMA.com, and they've got a promo code. If you enter Fight House, you can get $35 off the seminar.
Like, he's going to do a whole seminar.
A two-hour seminar, and the autograph signing will be before that.
We can't promise anything, but the way Arlovski looked in that fight, he might show up for a seminar. I mean, he should.
He just get some tips.
Still rolling in out of Chicago, right?
On what to do.
Just down the road. You never know.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.